Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Last night, we witnessed one birthday boy driving in another birthday boy to beat the Giants in some crazy baseball at Petco.
I like that, crazy baseball. That's a good hashtag. We should use that moving forward. Hashtag crazy baseball.
Today, we've got Jesse Agler and Randy Jones in studio. And as the Padres get ready to wrap up their series with the Giants, we're hoping for some more dramatics with another crazy ending and a big win tonight.
That's right. We should be the show of hope.
I'm not even saying that.
You're not?
You're taking it even further than I was trying to take it.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padre Social Hour, presented by United. We're live at Petco Park. It is an hour earlier than it usually is when we do this show for like a weeknight game.
Does that mean there'll be sunballs? Lose them in the lights. Lose them in the sun. Well, I don't
shadows,
know.
Shadows. That's what we'll talk about. The pitcher, the guys like you, Randy Jones, they will have an advantage over the hitters at certain points.
You know, I didn't throw hard enough to even take advantage of the shadows.
I thought it was a breaking ball thing.
No, it comes in and then it
just disappears on you.
I don't think it made any difference.
You're not big on the shadow stuff, huh?
Well, not for me personally. If you throw 96, 97, it might make a difference.
Okay, so we might have weird shadows tonight. It's a 6-10 game. Not a 7-10 game because the Giants have to get in their airplane and leave. And Lindbergh Field, you know, they don't like
have
guys.
Have a curfew.
Yeah, exactly. For the folks in Point Loma, you don't like takeoffs after 11
and
o'clock.
And as many pitchers as Bruce Bochy uses, we better start this game early.
We're going to talk about that. Last night was, I think that's sort of going to be the poster boy example. The poster child, whatever you want to say. Last night, and look, it was a great win for the Padres. It was a lot of fun. You know, last night was one of those. I don't say this to sound negative, but, like, there were multiple points in last night's game where you meant, man, the Padres are going to lose. Like, that's what it felt like to me. I'm like, oh, man. It was like every stupid little thing was going the Giants' way, and the Padres kept coming back. And it was awesome, and it was fun, and it was exciting. But the thing, the taste left in my mouth last night has very, like, little to do with that and everything to do with Bruce Bochy's band of relief pitchers.
I was excited about it because Bruce used 10 pitchers. And there was no doubt in my mind, if you use 10 pitchers, we're going to figure out how to hit one of them.
Okay.
That's the way I look at it.
I see the way you're talking
about it. Keep bringing them out there, man. We'll figure one of them out.
We did. Yeah, no, nine relievers, like several of whom didn't even record an out. How about Corey Brock of MLB.com? He'd broken it down like this when we were talking in the dugout before batting practice. Five different Giant pitchers last night threw four or fewer pitches. Five different guys threw four or fewer pitches.
He's trying to win.
No, I get that. And you're right. You know what? To be fair, this is maybe more about Major League Baseball and the rules than it is about Bruce Bochy.
Exactly.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, like the song says.
And like I mentioned, too, on the other side, being a former player, hey, a lot of these kids you're seeing, you don't even have no idea who they are. The names, they got called up,
sure.
They deserve to call up. You know, and they've been dreaming about this, getting this opportunity their whole life, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
I can't argue with that. I know those
you like that part of it.
Well, God bless them. I mean, you've been dreaming about this since you were a kid playing in the league.
Sure.
All of a sudden, that you know, and we've seen a couple of them already where the balls are being thrown out because it's just first big league double or first big league home run or hit.
Yeah,
you know, whatever it might be. And you're creating those baseball memories that baseball does so well.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a big part of it, and I'm not trying to remove any of that from the game. My suggestion.
I want to make sure you got everything in the right perspective. That's all.
I appreciate that. No, it is your job, and you do a fine job of your job. But my suggestion has always been and will continue to be that they need to have an active roster for each game in September.
And I agree.
Okay.
If you want to do a 28 or 29,
right.
You can have all 40 up here.
Right.
I mean, you know.
And tomorrow, these eight guys can be available out of the bullpen,
Are these four guys? Even
sure.
20, go to 29. You know, make it a game. You can rotate those four in and out every game.
That's it.
So everybody's still getting that opportunity to get an appearance, play. You know, but you don't give Weiss.
I don't need nine relievers coming out of the game. I don't need a guy coming out of the bullpen issuing an intentional walk and then leaving the game. I don't need that.
That's true.
That's not baseball.
You don't need to bring in the left-hander to walk the guy.
And I get what happened. It was going to be Dickerson, and then it was Melvin, and so he's playing the matchups and everything. But, like, it seems – and I'm not one of these people that wants to limit the number of pitching changes in a game. I think that – but I do want to limit the number of pitchers who are available.
Well, then you are limiting the amount of changes you can make.
In the month of September.
And you should. I agree with that.
Because it's nonsense. You play all of these rules in April and May and June and July and August, and you're playing 130 games or 100 130-something games in all of those months with these rules. And then September comes around, and all of these games are magnified and multiple, and you got the pennant races, and now all of a sudden you got the guy, you know, the Augusta Green Jacket up from single A, and he's just walking a guy intentionally and coming out of the game. It's just a little bit funky. So, again, my suggestion, my request to Rob Manfred would be active game day rosters. They do it in the NBA. They do it in the NFL. They do it in the NHL. There's no reason in September we can't have something
like
that.
Well, I sent Boach a text last night. The end of the game, he probably didn't get it until after the game, but I said, hey, Boach, one more lap, you get the checkered flag. You win the race.
Yeah.
He had to be exhausted.
Yes.
Walking back and forth.
He wore out a path. Matt Bailo and the grounds crew actually had to resod today.
Resod the turf?
Yeah, between the third base dugout and the plate.
I love it.
You know how in Arizona and Detroit they have those dirt paths?
Yeah, the dirt path.
They're actually installing one of those in front of the visitor's dugout today for Bruce Bochy.
That's beautiful.
Because they don't want him. Not really, of course. Anyway, so that was one thing from the game yesterday. But really, the Giants, everything kept going their way. Kemp loses a tough ball in the lights. They get Kimbrel. They get Benoit. And you're going, oh, man, everything is breaking for San Francisco, and the Padres kept coming back, and they kept coming back, and they kept coming back. And on September 23rd, that's a cool thing to watch. That's a fun thing to see out here.
The birthday boys have good, pretty good evenings, and so especially Jed Jerko with the four hits and the game winner. I mean,
four hits, including a game winner, a night after he strikes out four times.
Exactly.
Or goes 0 for 4 with three strikeouts.
I wasn't bringing that up. But.
Well, I'm just saying, hey, it's nice. It's like when Norris hit the Grand Slam earlier this year.
Hey, it's baseball, man.
It's the beauty of baseball.
That's why, especially an everyday player, you got to have a short memory, you know, because 24 hours later, you're right back at it. You know, but that was just a great night.
It was. It was a lot of fun. And another guy that ended up having a huge impact on the game, we're going to go ahead and call him the Firehouse Sub of the game. Now, this is a little bit different. Usually when we do a sub of the game, it's a relief pitcher or a pinch hitter. Not today. It's going to be who's it going to be? Spangenberg? No, Jankowski.
Jankowski.
Yeah, because
– double down the line.
He came up with that big hit in the
eighth
inning.
That's right.
Travis Jankowski is going to be our Firehouse Subs sub of the game, and it's going to be him because he was not originally in the starting lineup. So that's why he's a sub. Will Myers was a late scratch with the sore wrist. He's okay, by the way, and he is in the lineup today. And so he comes up with the big hit late in the game. He's our Firehouse Sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. That was one of the several big hits. Travis Jankowski, the two-run double in the eighth inning that put the Padres up 4-3.
Well, you talk about Jankowski, Solarte, and Jerko. You know, two out hits, and basically we had three hits with runners in scoring position last night, and those were the three. That's how big they were.
That's exactly how big they were. All right, I feel like we haven't properly introduced the show. We just sort of jumped right into
that's what we do
to the dirt
path.
Hey,
after 160 of them, I think we can do that.
That's next week. We're at 150 something right now, aren't we?
Well, I'm including spring training.
Oh, okay, fair enough. There's a lot of spring training games.
See?
That'd be another thing MLB could take a look at. We don't need that many spring training games. We'll fix Major League Baseball another time.
Okay.
We'll fix Major League Baseball another time. You're Randy Jones. I'm Jesse. This is Padres Social Hour. Early, as we said today, because of the 6:10 first pitch, you guys can contribute online. Just tweet at us using the hashtag PadresSH. If you've never watched the show, we like to get to those tweets throughout the hour, questions, comments, et cetera. And one of the guys who tweets at us pretty regularly, and he does so from far away, is here. The guy, Auntie. Right? He's from Australia, and he's here at Petco Park.
Wow.
And he's hanging out. So very nice of him to stop by and say hi. Now, this guy is like a big-time Padre fan down under. He is wrapping up a 6 or 7 ballpark tour of the United States. He was in Washington when the Padres were there. He was in Philadelphia when the Padres were there. He checked out Yankee Stadium. He checked out Wrigley. Now he's here. He's going to catch the Dodgers series. How awesome is that? Just take that kind of time.
Well, it's a good thing he's got some friends around here. I don't know who he's hanging out with.
Is he staying with you?
He didn't call me.
But that's awesome, man. Auntie, he's a regular tweeter.
Auntie, welcome, man. This is
and,
great to have you.
That's very cool. That's very cool that he's here. Speaking of social media, there's one other thing I want to bring up here. We're doing another one of these social summits coming up on Sunday. We did this for the first time last year, sort of this way, and it was really cool. And what it is we sort of open up registration, so to speak, to anybody on Twitter. So the Padres tweeted this a little while ago this afternoon, and you reply to this tweet to apply and tell us why you should be selected for the third SD Social Summit. It's going to be on Sunday. You get a couple of tickets to the game. You get to do a Q&A, several Q&As. You get a kind of little bit of a behind-the-scenes action here at Petco Park. You get to meet some people. You get to learn some things. It's a really cool deal. So we open it up to people online. So find that tweet if you're interested to come on Sunday to the Social Summit.
Is it 25 people, 100 people?
We try and keep it pretty limited. I think 25 plus ones.
All right.
So 50 total, but 25 is the number we open it
very
up
good.
To. Becky has the official numbers. I don't know if that's exactly right, but I think it's right.
All right.
And so because we don't want to just say 50 people and you got to come by yourself. So we say 25 people and you get to bring a friend or
that's
a brother,
perfect.
A sister, a mom, a dad, whatever, a kid. And it's a really cool kind of a two-way operation.
Anything you want to tease on the show coming up?
Yeah, so we may have a member of the Padre pitching staff. And because it's the month of September, that could be one of any number
wow.
of gentlemen. We may or may not. I'm not sure. We're waiting on confirmation of that. The Grinch is here. The green dude.
The Grinch.
Who stole Christmas. He's going to come on and talk to us.
We're going to interview him?
He's going to sit right next to you.
Whoa.
Are you a fan of the Grinch?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
I would ask that when you interview the Grinch, you do so in rhyme.
In rhyme?
Yeah, because like the books, the Dr.
Okay.
Seuss books.
I'll work on that.
Yeah, well, Blooper's got some rhymes for you, and we'll pass those along. And your friend Bill Center is going to stop by.
What?
And we're going to talk to him about.
Who invited him?
Blooper.
Nice, Bloop.
Yeah. So that's
jeez,
that's
need him on the couch.
That's all that's coming up. Plus, of course, as I said, the social media questions, Padres
good.
SH, is the way all of that goes. So we got a lot more coming up. Of course, we'll preview tonight's game, Ian Kennedy against Madison Bumgarner, who last time you saw the Padres, one hit them.
One hitter.
But you remember early this season here, worst start of the year for Bumgarner against these Padres.
I don't think he remembers that after 18 wins.
I remember it.
I love you. That's good.
Thank you. All right. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back, and more Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park. Final game of the season between the Padres and the Giants.
Ah.
How weird is that? You know, when you see a team like 72 times per year, as we do with the current baseball scheduling.
And you realize that when you get in your own division, how many times you pitch to the same guys.
Right.
You know, in the old days, 18 times. And, hey, when you're on a 4-day rotation, I remember there was in 75, Jim Barr and I faced each other opening day. Mm-hmm. And Jim Barr and I faced each other four times that year. We were on the four-man
it's
rotation.
Crazy.
And every time I pitched against the Giants, Jim Barr was pitching. We were on the same, you know, rotation. We never missed a start.
Now, as a starting pitcher, you don't really ever – do you ever think about the other starting pitcher? I mean, isn't
of
your attention –
of course you do.
Okay.
You do. Well, number one, it depends kind of who it is. You can kind of figure out how many runs you're not going to get or going to get, you know. So it might come into your game plan. It really does. It used to play into mine.
Okay.
I go, ooh, this guy.
Because I feel like guys, they always say, hey, I'm not pitching against him. I'm pitching against the eight guys or the
baloney.
Nine guys.
You got Tom Seaver on the other side with the Mets. I got a feeling it's going to be, you know, 2-1, 1-0, 2-0 type game, you know. And if you've got Enoch Rapini on the mound, I mean, I'm going to get six runs. And so, I relax a little bit more.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever heard a pitcher admit that.
So you're
calling all other pitchers liars.
No, but hey, you know, when you somebody asks you the question, that's the right answer. Well,
right.
I don't have to worry about him. He only bats three times. He's going to bunt anyway.
Yeah,
that type of stuff. I just got to worry about getting people out. I can't worry about the other pitcher. That's what you say, you know, correctly. But in the back of your mind, you know.
Yeah, it has to.
I mean, if it's an ace pitcher, you know it's going to be stingy. Don't give up a thing. You're not doing damage control. You're trying to eliminate zero runs.
Yeah.
You know, it's not damage control. Give up a run, trade for an out. No. I don't want that guy to score at all.
You know, football season is here, obviously, and it reminds me of something with that. You often hear quarterbacks asked that kind of question. So, like, when Phillip Rivers is getting ready to face the Patriots, he's going to get a question about, hey, Tom Brady's on the other side. He's going to say, hey, we're not going to be on the field at the same time. You know, it's not my thing. But it's the same kind of
same
deal.
Same thing.
He's got to know, hey, man, they're going to put up points. I got to put up points,
I got
to
run and gun. Yeah. I got to get some points on the board. You're absolutely right. You know that.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm glad that you're being honest about it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I mean, the common sense tells you that you really have to look at that. I mean, as far as a starting pitcher, you know, and sometimes it backfires. Of course, it always does. It's sports. It's baseball.
Yeah, no, you never you think you're getting one thing and you get something completely different.
Yeah, I shut you out. You know, how do you do that?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, how about this stat? This is one of my favorite stats of the year for the San Diego Padres. And you're not going to need a calculator to follow along. This one is very simple. This season, Craig Kimbrell has blown four saves. In those games, the Padres are 4-0.
That's right.
I like that.
That's amazing.
I like that a lot. Pat Murphy talked about it last night. He goes, hey, they're picking him up, you know, that kind of thing. And that is such a cool stat because whatever it says is that, okay, hey, save was blown. We're not packing in our tent. We're not saying, ah, forget it. There have been a couple memorable ones, too. Last night, obviously, is an example of this. That crazy game in Arizona earlier this
year. That's right.
Danny Dorn, remember all that nonsense. Padres have not lost a game this year in which Craig Kimbrell has blown a save.
And you know, it's funny, we were talking about it, too, because, you know, like even last night, those the wild pitch with, all right, tie it up, you know, and we looked at each other and go, oh, hey, we're going to win it anyway. We don't lose when, if this happens. And sure enough, you know, 20 minutes later, we won the ballgame.
That's it.
That's perfect.
It's beautiful. I think
but
it's also
– I'd rather have him just have the save and let's
you know,
get
of
out
course.
Of here.
But guys are going to blow saves. Yep. It's going to happen. You know, I mean, it's part of the deal of being a closer. Very few guys go, you know, 42 for 42 or whatever over the course of a season.
Yeah, and I don't know the exact numbers. The unfortunate thing when you get on this and the opportunities that Kimbrell's had since August 1st are minimal.
Yeah. Few and far between.
And I'm sorry. I mean, I don't care who you are. I mean, you get that much time off in between appearances. I don't know how in the world you stay sharp.
How important are those roles to those guys? I mean, I've heard different people say different things. Houston Street, you know, the former Padre, had some really strong quotes in an article this summer about, hey, if guys in the bullpen don't know their roles, it's bad.
It's bad.
He said it's really bad. But, I mean, if Kimbrell is not getting in games, I mean, is it worth bringing him in with the team down five in a bad game just to get him some actual game work?
Well,
or is that almost worse than not pitching in a game?
No, it's just about communicating with Kimbrell and let him tell you. If he needs an inning just to feel sharp. But I really feel, if you'll notice, Kimbrell comes in and I think throwing a few breaking balls early in the count when he first comes in. And I think that's trying to get out front and get that feel, that release point. You know, and when you're throwing 97, 98 miles an hour fastball, you know, you got to have that. You got to have a good feel and release point.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, last night he struggled with that, threw a few more breaking balls. I get it. I mean, you know, and that's what you try to do. You know, but still, you know, he's frustrated by it. He wants to slam the door and get it done.
Well, last night was a goofy one,
it
too.
Was. It
yeah,
was
the play
crazy.
In right field, and you got a wild pitch. It's not like, you know, they were knocking him all over the yard or he gave up a big home run
or something like that. When the dust clears, we won.
That's it.
And that's what Kimbrell sees, you know. But I'd like to see him get a few more opportunities here in the last couple of weeks.
That would be the ideal situation.
Nice.
That would absolutely be the ideal situation. All right, I want to change gears away from the Padres for a few minutes. And the Grinch, by the way, will join us coming up. The Orioles swept the Nationals today. Last night, they had a little hubbaloo late in the game. Manny Machado hit a home run late in the game for the Orioles. He's having an unbelievable year, by the way. Yonder Alonso's brother-in-law. Just hits this monster home run, big shot, puts him ahead, you know, late innings, everything like that. Off Max Scherzer, one of the great pitchers in all of baseball. So Manny Machado's next time up after this, head case Jonathan Papelbon is in the game. And Jonathan Papelbon apparently unhappy that Manny Machado hit a home run earlier in the night. And he throws at him, then slider away, and then he hits him up, you know, kind of close to that. On the third pitch of the at-bat. And Papelbon immediately ejected, and yada yada, bench is clear. You know, all the usual nonsense that takes place. And Will Leach at sportsunearth.com wrote about this today. We gotta move past this as a baseball society, I believe. Like,
oh, get over it.
This is, you don't got to be throwing at the guy's head because he homered two innings earlier.
What you need to do
he didn't pimp it or anything, but and even if he did, get over it. Like, Jonathan Papelbon is having a disaster of a season since coming over to the Washington Nationals, and his arrival has sort of coincided with them, you know, kind of crashing and burning. But, like, come on, man. The guy hit a home run. He hit a home run. That's it.
Oh, you're talking to the wrong person.
I know, and that's why I'm trying to get it. Like, you know, why is he got to be throwing at Manny Machado's head?
Don't get me started. You know
why?
Why do you want to
tell me why?
Number one, you need to. I'll give you a great example. Okay, mm-hmm. It's Jared Weaver against Sager the other night, mm-hmm. Seattle, Anaheim. They got into a shouting match, yes. Yelling at each other, cursing at each other.
He had asked for time, and Weaver didn't like it.
And he got mad, and I love that. They finally settled down to get back in, and Weaver plugs him in the ribs. I thought I'd die laughing. I just thought I'd die laughing.
I don't mind that.
Because he knows how to pitch inside. You know, when you go to spring training, hey, if you're going to – don't be a headhunter. I mean, if you're going to hit somebody, knock someone, learn how to do it.
And then Papelbon arguing about getting ejected.
I didn't do it on purpose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a tired act.
That's close. That's weak.
Come on, man.
You know, and if you're going to hit somebody, learn how to hit them. You know,
that
ball's way too high right there. You go for the numbers. You hit him right in the numbers where he rolls and hits, you know, and then the small of the back.
Leave a bruise and life
goes on. You made your point. Okay?
But what point is he even making? I guess that's the one I don't like here. Like with Weaver and Seager the other day with the Angels and the Mariners, you know, Weaver was upset at him for something that he did to him. And now I think he should be ejected. I thought it was kind of a small-minded thing for Weaver to do because he gets tossed in like the fourth inning of a game that's important to his team.
Right.
So that's a little dumb. But at least, okay, fine. You had a reason. Papelbon's got no reason here.
Yeah,
he didn't homer off him. He didn't do anything to him. Get over yourself, man. Like this whole, oh, the guy was happy that he hit a home run, so I'm going to drill him. We got to move on from that. We got to move on from that.
You know, well, the other day, you know, the one thing of what I loved about this, Nelson Cruz is on deck when Sager in Seattle, and they kicked Weaver out, and I looked over at Nelson Cruz, and he's giving Weaver the stink eye. And I know that Weaver's yelling at him, and being a former pitcher, I got a pretty good idea what he was saying.
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky I'm not staying in. I'd have drilled you, too.
Exactly.
I mean, I swear, man. You know, that's in the heat of the battle. That's how it works. And I really got tickled at that scenario. But, I mean, he hit him. Hit Sager, professionally done.
Yeah.
That was the key.
I'm good with that one.
I was disappointed the umpire threw him out. I mean, that's good old school.
He knew he was going to get tossed, though.
Well, warn him. Just warn him and stir it up some more.
He knew he was going to get tossed. He walked right off.
They're no fun at all.
He walked right off.
You know, but Papelbon doing that, you know, what I hate is when you don't do it professionally. I mean, all right, maybe he doesn't like the guy. Fine. You got the ball. Do what you want. But at least know how to knock somebody down or hit him professionally. Not like that.
Amateur hour.
Yeah.
Amateur hour. But Bryce Harper, by the way, after the game, he – without even saying Papelbon's name, was kind of like, yeah, that's stupid. He didn't do anything. He's like, I'm going to get drilled tomorrow now. Bryce Harper said that after the game to the media. He did not get drilled, by the way, today. But he was saying, he's like, this is, like, he didn't do anything.
Well, get out of the way, Harper. Jeez.
Anyway, kind of silly.
Bunch of babies.
Hey, speaking of babies, the Grinch is going to be here.
What?
When we come back. The Green Grinch, the one who stole Christmas. He's going to sit right next to you, and we're going to talk to him about what he's up to.
I'm looking forward to
it. It's not Christmas time, so I don't know how he occupies himself. We'll find out when we return. Remember, too, you can join the conversation, hashtag PadresSH. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free with quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit EvansTire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Papelbon's a head case. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, we'll take a break, and the head case, who is the Grinch who stole Christmas, will be back. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back, Padres Social Hour. Randy Jones is here. Normally, when we want to bring on a curmudgeon, we bring on Bill Center.
Yeah.
That's sort of what we do.
Watch this.
And so today we said, well, let's change gears a little bit. A different kind of curmudgeon. Is that a fair word, Mr. Grinch?
I think a curmudgeon would be a good word, but I don't think changing gears was the proper term. It's more like you're grinding the gears.
Grinding.
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah, no, that's what they tell me.
Oh, wait.
Welcome, by the way. I want to be a good host.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here.
Well, I can't change nice to be here, sure. But at least the chair is comfortable. So
you know what? I'm loving it, man. You're going to be back here at Petco.
Yes.
For the holidays. Okay. That's what I'm fired up about.
So Holiday Wonderland is coming back to Petco Park, and they're
Oh my gosh! So it's like 12 nights of this Christmas stuff.
Yeah, though there's a lot of it.
Oh, my God.
So what's your role, though? I mean, you stole Christmas, according to the book, and I believe it's nonfiction. So
no, it's a memoir. It's my memoir. So it starts the 4th and
4th of December.
December, yeah, not this month. Not October, though. I do like Halloween. Halloween is a lot of fun.
I bet you're good there.
Oh, yeah. Steal a lot of candy from kids. But it starts the 4th. It's 12 nights. 12 miserable nights.
No, they're good nights.
Whatever.
He's the Grinch. He's the Grinch.
4:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Yeah, it's good for everybody but you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they're basically forcing me to be there. But I mean, I am the star of the show.
Yo, you're the star of the show. I didn't realize that.
I don't. I brought my granddaughters down, and Lucy was scared of you.
Yeah.
She bailed on you.
It's better that way.
Gone.
It's better that way.
Why is it better that way? So, what's your role? Like, why are you there other than they're making you be there? What are you trying to pull off?
Well, the last year I tried to actually stop it, and it didn't work out. And they said, "Hey, you know what? How about we just give you a paycheck?" And I was like, "Destroy Christmas." Or get money. So I stuck around.
Well said. Yeah. Well, good.
I got a lot of free food too.
The Grinch is a pragmatist when all is said and done.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to kind of have fun and say, you know what, I hate Christmas. I'm going to destroy it and get rid of it. And
he would be
let
good
it never happen. But then when the capitalism is coming my way.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you dress up for Halloween?
Actually, last year I went as you.
Oh wow, that's scary. Terrifying.
Yeah. And then I think this year I'm going to do Donald Trump because I think I can pull it off. I got the gut for it, you know.
Can you get the hair?
I got the hair. Yeah. I mean, if I brush it over,
right.
I kind of do it.
Topical.
It looks good.
Topical.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm almost thinking I might just get this horrid blonde wig. I don't know. I think I look good with. Where
you have options.
Look,
yeah.
I think I could pull it off.
You got like a month to figure it out.
Hey, I would also think I would stick Max on my head because I mean he wears an animal on his head anyway, doesn't he?
There you go.
I like it.
So, yeah.
Hey, Grinch, how do you hold your fastball?
How do I hold my fastball? Yeah.
Well, how many fingers do you have before we get
nice.
Like that.
You just chuck it off to the side.
He is kind of grumpy. I like
four
guy.
Fingers? Is that right?
I got five fingers.
Oh, you do have five fingers. Okay. I was going to say it might be hard to throw a baseball with four fingers.
No, I mean, I can throw a ball. I mean, I've knocked who's off their houses from, you know, a couple yards away. From 100 yards, you know. I got a pretty mean curve, too, yeah.
Do you?
A really mean curve. I mean, I'm good at breaking windows.
I believe that.
Great at breaking windows.
Are you throwing out the first pitch? Is that part of this?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
They won't let me do it.
That's probably the right thing to do, though. I don't know.
He'd probably steal the ball, run off.
I would run off.
Who would like that?
You'd run over the ball.
I'm actually thinking I might just run out on the field. I don't know.
You're going to ring the bell.
Oh, I'm going to ring the bell. Oh, cool. So I'm going to get to ring the bell. That'll be fun.
I like that.
I like noise.
Right
I like making noise.
Now, they have a very specific way they want people to ring the bell. Are you good at following directions?
No.
Okay. You're going to freelance a little bit, you think?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, the Grinch is here. Holiday Wonderland comes back to Petco Park this December, beginning on the 4th, 12 nights, 4:30 to 9:30.
And then that last week is like all Christmas stuff. But we're not doing Christmas Eve because, you know, some people have families. I don't. I'm going to actually try to be, you know, stealing Christmas from people. But
trying to.
Yeah. But otherwise, all those other people that are like, oh, I want to spend time with my family.
I really enjoyed you last year. I thought you did a great job down here. Making everybody miserable.
That's a bit
good.
if I'm doing a good job making people miserable,
then
I'm good. I thought I was doing a good job making people happy. Then
I'd
be insulted.
They were miserable.
Then I would be insulted.
I don't know. The kids all seem to like you. How do you handle that?
You know, I don't know. I guess maybe the fact that I smell and they smell, they find a relation to that, and they like that.
I can vouch for that, by the way.
That's what I'm guessing.
Like a little dirty diaper kind of situation?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Padres.com/holiday for all the details.
I would ask
I do like baby diapers, though. Those make great deodorant.
It helps.
More like odorant. Odorant. Mostly just deodorant.
You ever wonder what a Grinch eats?
Onions. Broken glass. banana peels. I like rotten fish. Rotten
that
fish is really good.
Explains it all.
I'm going to give you a
couple. Have you ever had three-day-old tuna after it's been sitting out?
I'm going to give you a couple of minutes when we get done here, too.
Try it sometime.
Yeah, no, that sounds lovely. Padres.com/holiday for all of the details and the information. Yeah. Holiday Wonderland is coming back. I wouldn't say that you're the star of the show, but you're one of the folks who are here. Randy, I think last year, for a lot of people, the reindeer were the stars of the show.
Well, I think so. But, I mean, you got to have all the flavor when you're going through all the great scenes around here. The Grinch was everywhere. I thought it was pretty cool.
He did move around.
He just showed up.
I was pretty jealous of the reindeer, though, because they had people there feeding them, and they just got to, like, you live in their own filth, you know. They didn't let me do that.
Did they go to the bathroom?
They were like, no, don't. You can't do that. They can because they're reindeer, but you don't get to.
Be careful what you wish for, Grinch. You never know.
They were real live reindeer, though. I don't know
if
people realize this.
$40 million to rain on me. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. Well,
nah, it's not working.
Better hang out with a reindeer.
You got to work on that curveball if you want to get paid. That's the way to do that.
Ooh,
or break the right window.
There you go. Yeah. All right. The Grinch is here. He will be at Petco Park all December long.
Irritatingly.
12 nights. Padres.com/holiday. Good luck with the ringing of the bell.
I think I'll do good with that. I'm good at making noise, like I said. I can make a lot of noise.
Yeah. All right, you're noisy.
You're one of my favorites, Grinch. Give me fun. Oh, I love it.
Very nice.
I like to have fans.
Good job.
The Grinch.
I think we could hang out. You know?
We could.
We could do this. We could hang out. Yeah.
I'll see you at Christmas time. I'll come out and hang out with you.
I'll come visit your granddaughter.
I'm sure
she'll love that.
All right, the Grinch has been on the Cholula hot seat. Nice job, right. Grinch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate you stopping by.
It was
a pleasure.
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to just come as is, but they said to put on the Santa suit. I mean, it's a bit itchy, but... I guess Naked Grinch on the live television isn't.
No bueno.
Ooh.
No bueno.
I don't know.
I got a bad visual right now.
It's just all hair. It's all hair.
All right. That's the Grinch. He stole Christmas, and he will try to do so again this winter at Petco Park.
Hopefully I'll succeed.
Hopefully for you. He was on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Go to Padres.com/holiday, Padres.com/holiday for all of the details. We'll take a break, come back, and maybe more of the Grinch. Who knows?
You never know.
Or maybe Bill Center. They're one of the same.
Leave the Grinch.
All right. Padres
Social
Hour. I
think I'm better looking, so you might get more viewers with my face.
I like it.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Let's get out to a tweet right off the bat.
All right.
What do you say? Joe in Vegas checks in. He says, hey, tell Bill to take the Grinch suit off. You ask and you receive, Joe.
That's abuse. Hey. I love abuse.
Curmudgeon, not Grinch. There's a slight difference there.
So you're saying
all I know is
I've never seen Bill and the Grinch in the same place at the same time.
That's a good point.
A moment ago, the Grinch was sitting there. Now you're sitting there. You're in red. He was in red. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Okay.
That is a little green on your sock, too.
You got a little fuzz.
A little fuzz.
That's a quick change. Fuzz. Nice job. Nice job, Bill Center. Welcome. Thank you for coming down.
Jesse.
Bill is here. He's on Twitter at Padres Central.
But why is he here?
He writes on Padres.com. I want to ask him some questions, some things he's written about recently.
Well, let's put him on the hot seat.
On Padres. We already put the Grinch on the hot seat. Can we do it twice? Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Bill liked the Grinch. Maybe he is the Grinch.
Absolutely.
He's on the Cholula hot seat again. Why not? Blooper can put that up there. Strikeouts. This question from Ed came in. I think it's a really good question because you wrote the last couple days about the strikeouts. The Padres set a new team record as a pitching staff.
Right.
For most strikeouts in a season. Ed says, and he addresses it to Jesse and Randy, but he didn't know you were going to be here, so we can't blame him for that. New strikeout record for Padres pitchers. Useless stat. It's sure not reflected in the one lost record. What do you make of that? How do you marry the number of strikeouts the pitchers have had? The fact that you have two 200 strikeout pitchers for the first time in Padre history with the win-loss record.
Yeah.
I like the strikeouts, but I'd like to see more outs, just outs without hits. And, hey, listen, Randy, not a great strikeout pitcher, but very effective. Right?
Yeah. Hey, if I struck you out, it was your fault.
Right.
I mean, okay.
But Randy got outs without having to strike out people, and he got outs without having to throw a lot of pitches. He got outs with maybe 40 pitches through four or five innings. And to me, that is more – that's better pitching than striking out eight or nine and giving up five or six walks.
But I think today's standards, I mean, these strikeouts were big in the old days.
Right.
You know, true.
Right.
And I mean, you know, big arms, you know, you didn't have a big arm. But I think strikeouts are even more so now that with the radar and speed being all about pitching and 95, 98, and you know, that great stuff. But it seems like the strikeouts are more part of the game now.
Right. Although I don't think strikeouts are as important a stat as, one, ERA, and two, the whip, the walks.
Oh, I agree.
I think the whip is the most important stat.
I think, in most part, when you're a power pitcher, I mean, you get a lot of strikeouts, it's going to create more opportunities for walks, or it's going to create more opportunities to go deeper in the count.
Right.
Your pitch count's going to get up. I mean,
so let me ask you both then. I mean, is the strikeout overemphasized baseball?
I know what I'm going to say. You know, I mean,
couldn't strike out anybody.
Well, yeah, but Andrew Castro, he's out there throwing 33 pitches in the first inning.
Right.
I'd have been in the fifth.
Right.
33
strikeouts to me, it's a stat, it's a record, fine, but it's overemphasized.
Yeah. I mean, they're both arts. Pitching to contact's an art, and it's by design. You know, and have you have a power arm? I mean, Andrew Castro trying to pitch to contact with like a two seamer. I mean, he tries to do it sometimes. And I understand it, keep the pitch count down, go deeper in the game. But it's not quite that easy at 97, 98 miles an hour.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Were you happy if you were into triple digits in pitches in the fifth or sixth inning?
I never was.
You never were? Okay.
I didn't throw 109 innings.
Right.
Most of
the time. That answers the question. That, I mean, the idea is to get through nine with as few pitches as possible, not to get to 120 pitches through seven innings, but you've got 10 strikeouts.
Right. And I think some guys uniquely, it's getting 0-2 or 1-2.
Right.
And having the ability to put that guy away with a strikeout without throwing six pitches to do it.
Right.
That's really, I think, if you're going to talk about a strikeout pitcher, that's the art of that science.
And I will say one other thing. Walks are up this year, too.
Yes, they are.
The walks are way up. So
there's got to be a correlation there, right?
There really is.
Yeah. And the pitches per inning are way up, and the number of innings by the starters are way down, so the bullpens work more. We see what's happening with that.
Yeah, no, I think all of that ties together.
Right.
The value of the strikeout, of course, is that when you strike a guy out, nothing else can happen. You know, if you get a fly ball, a run can still score. If you get a ground ball, a run can still score. A defensive miscue can take place. A fielder might not get to something. An infielder might boot a ball. All of those things, they can't happen when you strike out, save for a wild pitch, obviously.
I think in the old school, though, when you got into doing damage control and the power arms, I'm talking about a Seaver, a Nolan Ryan, they get second and third one out. Pretty good chance they were going to punch that guy out. They were going to get the strikeout. They were going to eliminate the opportunity of a fly ball or a ground ball to score a run because they had the power. They had the power arm to do it.
And they would get the strikeout when they needed the strikeout.
That's right. That was the key. Not just trying to strike out everybody, but when they really needed the strikeout, they had that uncanny ability. They would get the strikeout.
Oh, I think we saw that a little bit from Cash last night. There were a couple of tough spots.
Good point.
And you said, hey, a strikeout would be great here. And he's able to pump one by a guy or he gets the nasty slider, whatever it is.
Right.
All right. So I think the strikeout thing is very interesting. The strikeout is very, very valuable. But if it is hurting in other ways when it comes to pitch count and walks and those sorts of things, it's a bigger mathematical discussion that we don't have to tackle right now. But I think it's good food for thought.
I think what's amazing, though, the Padres have been around since 1969.
Right.
And this is the first year we've ever had two pitchers have 200-plus strikeouts.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
That's incredible.
It is.
And I didn't realize that.
Tyson Ross last night joins James Shields in the 200K club. Ian Kennedy did it last year. Well, it's only happened like eight times now, right?
Right.
I think eight total times since 1969 has a pitcher reached 200 strikeouts in an inning.
Hmm.
I mean, in a season.
That's
excuse
incredible.
Me. Another thing I want to talk to Bill about that you wrote about on Padres.com, Yanhervis Solarte. Scratch from the lineup today. That hamstring's still bothering him. He was originally in the starting lineup today. Now he isn't. But he's been really, really good for the Padres this year, and he's turned into an everyday guy that, we always say, hey, we have no idea what April is going to look like in September, but I would be stunned at this point if Solarte is not the starting third baseman on opening day.
He's the front runner right now, and what's amazing is earlier in the season we saw him at second, not so good. We saw him at first, not really very good. Third base seems to be his natural spot.
And he's done well there. He hadn't hurt himself, and like you're talking about it, you know, I definitely think you're going to see him at third base. I think he's deserved it. And what I really like is the energy level I'm seeing right now is the same energy level that I saw in April.
A lot of energy.
Playing the game, how hard he plays.
And ever since they put him at third base and they've left him at third base and not moved people around, he's hit over 300 at third base.
Wow.
Says
there
something.
You go.
Yeah, you like a guy having that stability and kind of being settled in. Anyway, some interesting numbers that Bill has thrown out there. You can check them out at Padres.com. Appreciate you stopping by, both in and out of costume, and sharing some holiday and baseball insights with us.
Oh, that's
that's cruel.
I got to get even that somewhere there.
All right, that's Bill on the self-imposed Cholula hot
that's
seat.
Beautiful.
Hey, Fiesta in the Park is back tomorrow night. Enjoy the festive pregame party with food and drink specials, mariachi. And dancers and more. Live entertainment includes a DJ and a Selena tribute band. Party starts tomorrow at 4:30 before the game against the Diamondbacks, which is at 7:10. Get your tickets at Padres.com/Fiesta. Padres.com/Fiesta. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll take a look at that starting lineup we were just alluding to. Padres and the Giants coming up. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Oh, we're about 40 minutes away from first pitch here at Petco Park. Ian Kennedy and Mad Bum. Remember him from the World Series, that guy?
That lefty?
Yeah. Bumgarner. Right. He's on the mound for the Giants today. He'll be facing this Padre lineup, penned out by Pat Murphy. Padre lineup, as always, presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Meyer, Spangenberg, Kemp, Justin Upton, Jerko Norris, Melvin Upton, Barmis and Kennedy. That is a late change. Originally, Jarvis Solarte was batting second at third base. The hamstring, though, a little bit tight. He's had that cramp issue the last few weeks, so he is pulled from the lineup, and Spangenberg gets the start. Pretty much nothing too surprising there, and Jed Jerko continuing to get a lot of time at shortstop, but tonight back in his more familiar place at second base.
Now, fine, and try to figure we get a little more right-handed bats in there against Baumgartner.
That's it.
Been throwing the baseball quite well.
I recall last time we saw him, one hitter.
Yes.
Melvin Upton, pinch hit. So Melvin gets the start tonight. Understandably. Against Baumgartner. Kennedy started that game as well. It did not go well for Ian, which became such a secondary story because of what Baumgartner did. Almost didn't matter what Kennedy did. And that was arguably Baumgartner's best start of the season. Without question, though, his worst start of the season right here.
Right here.
Back
earlier
in
the year.
A long time ago, but nonetheless. All right, so time now for the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Let's update the standings here. Blooper and the Couch with a week and a half to go.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness. It's all tied up. 36 points apiece for producer Seth, a.k.a. Blooper, and for the Couch. Randy represents the Couch today. Yeah. The Couch won yesterday with Jarvis Solarte. Who's got the first pick today? The Couch has the first pick today. Who do you think from the Padre lineup will have the biggest impact on tonight's game?
Will Myers.
Oh, he's going right for the top. Going for Will Myers.
Going
Blooper,
right there.
Blooper, who you got?
Ian Kennedy.
All right, he's taking the pitcher.
Always takes the pitcher.
I like it.
I don't get it.
I like him tonight.
You like him tonight.
You had the opportunity to take the pitcher.
I don't take the pitcher.
You don't take the pitcher. Because remember, it's not just an offensive competition.
Tyson Ross, Ian Kennedy, Tyson Ross. Every time I'm on the
I've
show.
I've done three in a row pitchers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what's your record in those three?
This will be my third. I'm 1-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tonight's the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
You really like that strategy.
Yes.
You double down, basically. If
yeah.
he pitches oh, yeah. well, you're going to win.
Well, right. maybe,
unless
maybe,
somebody goes crazy
maybe
offensively.
Maybe you and I will talk about it during the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Remember, you can play along at home by selecting who you think will have the biggest impact on the game for the Padres. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. We'll take a break, and when we come back, maybe another tweet or two at hashtag PadresSH if we got some good ones. That's the hashtag PadresSH. Hey, we talked about Holiday Wonderland. Other cool stuff coming up this December here at Petco Park, as it will host the first college basketball game at this place Saturday, December 5th, as part of the Bill Walton Basketball Festival. The Aztecs and the Toreros will compete on an outdoor court on the infield. Tickets are on sale now at Padres.com/bball. Padres.com/bwall. The Bill Walton Basketball Festival.
Bill, I'm excited about that. A week of basketball here at Petco.
He's the best. That'll be fun this December. Take a break, come back, and wrap up Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. We are wrapping up here, getting ready for a 6-10 game out there on the field. Kennedy and Bumgarner final contest of the season between the Padres and the San Francisco Giants. With Randy Jones, I'm Jesse Agler. Let's get in one final tweet. Our buddy's a Gaslamp Ball. He asked this question. Hey, I saw RJ sitting next to Ron Fowler last night, dying to know what they talked about. You were sitting with the executive chairman.
I sat with Ron and visited with him a little bit, and I enjoy it. I like sitting there talking shop with him. We talk about the Padres and everything else.
You talk about bloggers?
No.
So you're not discussing Gaslamp Ball? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm sorry, Gaslamp Ball. You didn't come up in the conversation
last
night.
Are you serious?
You know, but yeah, I enjoy watching the game with him. He's got a lot of emotion about the game and the pottery. So
passionate about this
team. It's always a fun, and I can always come up with some little snidely comment irritating him. I like it.
You're telling me you guys were not discussing bloggers?
No, we weren't. No. We didn't text or tweet anybody while we sat there.
You had actual face-to-face conversation.
Yeah, had a hamburger and really had fun.
That sounds nice.
It was good.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you very much.
Hey, this was fun. Who's on tomorrow? Ben Higgins and Bill Center. I'll be with Mr. Scanlon on the radio the next couple of nights, and we'll talk to you later. Enjoy the game.